Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message. We're going to jump into our series that we started last week called Squad Goals, right? Interesting title, Squad Goals. And this series is really, it's about relationships. It's about relationships. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open up your Bible with me. If you have your phone, obviously, you can, if you have the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, we actually put our notes on there for you so that you can scroll through as we go through the message. You can kind of check out what we're saying. And then throughout the week, if you want to continue to kind of delve into the Word a little bit further yourself, you have the opportunity to. Again, that's the YouVersion Bible app. And if you just go to events and look up City Heart, you can actually find us right there. But if you can, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1. And I will let you know this one thing is that we'll have some lemonade and some treats for all the moms. It's just for the moms. Nobody else can eat any of it. Immediately following service out here where our little coffee area is, you can grab some lemonade. And I think we have some cookies or something like that that you can definitely jump into. But Romans chapter 15, verse 1, and it reads this. It says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind," everybody say one mind, "and one voice," everybody say one voice. Look, y'all did that with one voice. That was really cool. "You may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." If you can, turn with me as well. We're going to look at one more scripture, and it's Galatians, which is in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 6. If you have it on your phone, scroll. If you got a Bible, actually flip the page, right? Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 2. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. And it says this, it says, a simple, really quick verse, it says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill, the law of Christ. Now, obviously, this is Mother's Day, and all week on our social, we've been kind of posting pictures of moms. It's been really cool. And then we kind of previewed the video we showed today on there. And even with my family kind of in the state that we are about to grow, I've really been thinking about kind of my childhood, right, and how I was raised kind of all week. It's just been in the back of my mind. I talked to both of my sisters this week. I have two older sisters, and we're just kind of talking about some stuff that happened in our childhood, funny stuff. And one of the things that I fondly remember is growing up watching TV. I was one of those TV kids, right? Was anybody a TV kid? It wasn't just me, right? I was a TV kid. I'm just going to admit it, right? And excuse me. Oh, chair. All right. It's okay. It's totally fine. I was one of those TV kids. And I remember in the afternoon, right, we would come home. And I was in our kind of, you know, I grew up with my two sisters and my mom. And when we would come home, my mom wouldn't be home. Right? Because she'd be at work. We were, my mom was a single mom, single parent mom. Shout out to all the single parent moms. I mean, that's, whew. Anyway, my mom was a single parent mom. And so we'd come home in the afternoon and, you know, obviously we knew what to do our homework and we could watch TV. As long as our homework got done, we were cool. Right? Mom was okay. As long as you do your homework. That was hard for me. Anyway, but, you know, we were TV kids. And so we'd come home, my oldest sister, right? We had that one TV in the living room. Like, this was before people had, like, kids had, like, individual TVs in their rooms. My mom, she was not one of those people that was not going to happen. A TV in your room? Are you crazy? No. Anyway, so we had the big TV in the living room, which means we had to share, right? I have two older siblings, which means we had to share. And I was the youngest, which means my preferences came last, right? And so my older sister, she was older, she's about 5 or 6 years older than me, and so she was kind of in her preteen years. I remember we were talking about this week, she was kind of her preteen years, and so when she came home, she thought she was, you know, mature, right? And so she wanted to watch soap operas, and her favorite one was Guiding Light. Anybody else? Right? Guiding Light? Nobody? Right. Right. Guiding Light was like her show. We were talking about this week. Guiding Light was her show, right? And so we're coming to have to wait. That came on first afternoon, Guiding Light. I'm like, okay. And then my middle sister, Kelly, she wanted to watch, she liked the talk shows, right? She wanted to really, I don't know why, they're just weird. She wanted to watch talk shows. They listen, so they're going to hear this anyway. She wanted to watch talk shows, right? Yeah, I'm talking about y'all. Anyway, she wanted to watch talk shows, and that was like her thing, right? She wanted to watch talk shows, or she liked weird, like, random baby shows, right? She, for some reason, like TLC, remember they used to have like random baby shows on TLC? She used to watch that kind of stuff. And I'm just waiting. I'm like, I just want to see Double Dare. That's all I'm just waiting for Double Dare. So whenever you guys want to get off, you know, I'm just, Double Dare is going to come on. I'm kind of waiting for that. And so we would get into discussions, right? And my mom was a single parent mom, so she had to lay down the law. I didn't have one of those, oh, just have a timeout, mom. No, that wasn't my mom. My mom was, go get my belt. That, come on, I know this mom. Thank you. Right, I just want to make sure I wasn't alone. Right, my mom, go get my, that was my mom, right? And so we would have those discussions. My mom, she would lay down the law. But every once in a while, pretty much every week on Thursday was the only time we agreed on what to watch. Right? It was the only time that we were kind of like, okay, we're all watching the same thing, right? And so, it, like, our show, 8 o'clock on Thursday, if you grew up in the 80s like I did, I'm not going to give away my whole age, but if you grew up kind of in the 80s like I did, the 8 o'clock on Thursday, NBC was the Cosby Show, right? I know we can't talk about it now. It's kind of taboo to talk about it now, but I grew up on the Cosby Show. I'm sorry. I have to say it, right? I grew up on the Cosby Show, right? And then, like, for a while, we had, like, two back-to-back shows that we liked. It was the Cosby Show, and early on, it was the Cosby Show, and then Family Ties came on right after that. Anybody remember that? Right? Family Ties. What? That was my show. Alex P. Keaton and Mallory. Come on, I'm not the only one that remembers, right? Family Ties. Stop saying I'm old. I'm not old. Family Ties was, like, the show, right? And so that was our favorite. And I remember when it ended, because it ended on a Mother's Day weekend. Right, random memory I had this week that ended on a Mother's Day weekend. And I won't tell you that, you know, we cried, anything like that. Anyway, ended Mother's Day weekend. But then later on, right, so it was like 8 o'clock was the Cosby Show. 8:30 was Family Ties early on. And then later, when Family Ties ended, A Different World came on, right? I don't remember it. Right? It was Cosby Show and A Different World. We watched that faithfully every week. Didn't matter what was going on. That was the only time we ever agreed on TV. That's what we watched. And I remember that because my bedtime was always after the second show, right? So we watched the Cosby Show, we watched the second show, and then 9 o'clock, my mom, she, like I said, she didn't play. So 9 o'clock was my bedtime, right? Around like 10, 11, right? 9 o'clock was my bedtime. And I always knew it because as I was going to bed, I would hear, sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name. Dun, 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 dun. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where people see. Your troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. Right? Somebody knows. Right? I would hear that every day going to bed. I would hear that Cheers theme. Cheers was like, that was the slot. That was the 9 o'clock show, faithfully, for like 20 years. Right? Cheers was there. And I remember hearing that song every Thursday. I would hear that song. And I would kind of wait up to hear the theme. And then my mom would yell, I hear you up there. Go to bed. I'm like, okay. Right? I would wait to hear that theme. And when I think of that song, and I was reliving kind of my childhood this week, I was thinking, you know what, man? That reminds me of Squad. That reminds me of what we've been talking about. We've been talking about Squad. And why? It's because it's that feeling of, man, this is a place where I fully belong. Right? This is a place where I fit in, where I can be me. And that, man, you know what? This is a place when I come, we're doing life together, right? And we said as a squad, is a group of people pursuing a shared purpose. And we said last week, man, that's our goal. That's our squad goal, right? Is really, man, we're doing life together, right? And so really the ultimate goal of a squad, what we're trying to do is we're trying to grow, right? Growth is the ultimate goal of any squad. And we said a squad goal is this, it's a shared purpose that a group seeks to accomplish collectively, right? So there's things that I can do by myself, and that's great, but really, I should be wanting to be in a squad. It's that group where, man, we're pursuing a purpose together. It's something that we do, that goal is something that we do collectively. And last week we shared Proverbs 27:17, the scripture that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Right? And we said when you're in a squad, really, whether it's your family and your friends, whether it's your neighbors, your coworkers, whoever it might be, there might be some group that you're in or that you're connected to. You're in this place where there's some sharpening going on. Right? What happens? It's because of love. We feel love in those groups. And where there's love, we said, man, there's accountability. Because if I know somebody really has my back and they love me, I'm going to open myself up to them having an effect on me and I have an effect on them. Right? And as well, and once we have that accountability, once we're there, now you're really starting to sharpen. Your life is starting to be shaped by that person. You ever get around somebody and after a while they start to act kind of like somebody else? Right? That's that sharpening. That's that shaping. And where that sharpening and shaping is, now you see growth. Now I can grow. Those good habits they have start to rub off on me. And those good habits I have start to rub off on them. But I need to be in a squad. I need to be with other people. I can't do this, especially this Christian life. I can't do it by myself. I can't isolate myself and think that I'm going to grow in my faith. It's impossible. Sorry to say it. I know some people are like, man, I really don't have to go to church, and I'm going to still be okay. That is a lie. Sorry. There's just no way you can do it. And last week we shared the example of God didn't do it by himself, right? He had the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Even Jesus didn't do it by himself. He had the 12 disciples. Right? And we shared the covenant with David and Jonathan last week. All throughout the Bible, you see those connections of communion and fellowship and growth that comes as a result of it. And that's really what we should be desiring. Why? It's because you're better in a squad than you are on your own. You're better in a group than you are by yourself. You just can't do it. Even the best individual skilled people by themselves, take Serena Williams, for example, right? She's great, but if you think about it, Serena wouldn't be as great if it wasn't for a Venus Williams. As good as she is, Serena's brilliant, but she had her sister and her dad, right? There was somebody that helped to shape and mold her into this incredible player, this incredible human that she is now. Who wins a Wimbledon or whatever she won pregnant? That's insane to me. Like, how do you even, look, I can barely get out of my bed and she's winning tennis tournaments pregnant. Crazy. Anyway. But, okay, so how do we get to that place of growth? Sorry, it's a total tangent. How do we get to that place of growth? How do we get there? Obviously, it's in a group, but when we're saying how do we really start to grow, I really feel like the first way that we do that, the first way we see that growth is to know God. It's to know God. And what do I mean by that? I mean that you're developing a genuine personal relationship with God. There's a genuine relationship, a genuine personal relationship where it's not phony, it's not fake. I'm not kind of just coasting through my relationship with God, where I have a genuine, real relationship. What does that look like? That means I wake up and I pray. That means I'm spending time throughout the day in my word. That means I'm listening to some worship. That means I'm spending that time. We should be yearning for really the knowledge of God, yearning to know who he is. And I feel like that's best done in a squad. Well, that doesn't make sense. You're saying to have a personal relationship, but do it within a group? Yes. Let me show it to you this way. Let's look at Romans chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. And it says this, we read it earlier. It says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That what it's saying there is that, yes, you have your individual stuff, but you know what? The way that you're going to endure and the way that you're encouraged is with somebody else. When it's saying one voice there, it's saying not just a singular voice, but it's saying multiple voices becoming one. Right? So this, it's not just me by myself, but there's somebody else that's with me, and we are one voice and one mind together, that we're in a group, we're in a squad, we're on a team. When I think of any good team, especially a good sports team, and I won't talk about my Patriots this week because they were hating on me last week because I kind of dogged the Saints, and I'm sorry. Let me give a personal apology. But anyway, when I think of a good team, right, when they take a core of the field, what are they trying to do? They're trying to embrace this endurance. They're trying to embrace this thinking where, man, you know what? We're going to encourage each other. You ever see during a game, there's somebody, they're trying to hype their teammates up. Oh, man, come on, let's go, let's get in the game. Man, we got this. One more quarter, one more down, right? They're trying to do the work to encourage them. Why? So that we can endure. So that when we go on the field, we have the same mentality. When we go on the field and we're on the court and we're trying to pursue this goal of winning a championship or winning a game, we're doing it with the same mentality, the same heart. Right, that we're doing it with one mind, we're doing it with one voice. It takes more than one. Coaches talk about it all the time, right? Hey, let's go, cheer your teammate on, right? I used to play on a team, and a coach, you know, my very short basketball career I talked about last week. But anyway, when the coach would make us, when somebody else made a basket, you better stand up, you better clap for that guy. You better get in there and help them out. If you see somebody else struggling, man, help them tie his shoes. Help them figure it out. Man, you come on, encourage somebody. Why? So that we could win together. Yeah, man, you know what? Yes, Kevin, you might be on the bench a whole lot, but there's somebody in the game that's doing really well. You know what? Cheer them on, right? Let's help them out. Let's help them get in the game. Let's do that. Why? So that we all can win. Not just you, not just me. It's so that we all can win. In this Christian walk, We strive to fulfill all that God has called us to do. I can do that better on a squad. I can't do that with just me. It's hard because there's only so much encouragement that I can give myself. Right? I can look in the mirror and I can encourage me, but it always sounds better coming from my wife. Right? When she tells me, hey, you're doing a great job. I'm like, you know, kind of low-key pump. Man, I can say it to myself, hey, you're doing a great job. It doesn't come off so well, but when somebody else starts to talk about what I'm doing, man, you're doing a great job. You're really fighting, man. You're doing an awesome job. One of the things I love to hear my wife say, you know what, you're being a really great dad. Oh, that's like the ultimate for me. Man, you're being such a great dad today. That's a championship belt right there. Just like, it's amazing. Why? Because that helps me. That helps me in those times where I'm feeling down, where I'm feeling low, where I feel like, man, I need a little bit of help. I just need a little bit of encouragement that I can't give it to myself. There's only so much that I can endure on my own. I can only endure Christina a little bit by myself. I need some help. I need some help. No, I need some help every once in a while. There's only so much that you can endure by yourself. You need somebody else. When you go to work, there's only so much of your boss you can endure by yourself. You want to get with somebody else and y'all figure out a way to either do your job better or find somebody else that can replace your boss or pray for them. That's what you should really do, pray. But at least figure out a way to make the situation better, right? We have to be able to do that. I need God. I need God to help me in those times where I might be feeling low. I need God. I need him. And I need really people that are searching for him the way that I am. In this Christian walk, if I'm going to live and deal with the pressures that I'm dealing with every day, not only do I need God and I need to be searching for him, man, but I need somebody else. Because there's going to be some days where maybe I don't feel like I'm hearing God all that well. There might be some days where I just don't feel that connected with God. Even me, right? There's some days I'm just like, God, what are you really trying to say? And I really don't, man, I don't feel like I'm hearing it well. And then, man, my mom, she's so good at it. She'll call just the right time. And she'll be like, hey, son. And I'm like, yeah, mom, what's going on? She's like, what's going on this week? And she can hit just by the instant. And I know your mom's like the same way. The moment I say a word, she knows instantly what's going on. What's going on? And then my mom, she's just rude with it. She'll just start praying right in the moment. She's not even going to ask what's wrong. She just starts praying. Right, she'll just, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm like, okay, we're doing this. Okay, great, awesome, pray. I need that from her, and we need that from each other. Hebrews 10, 24 says this, and 25 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We need to be thinking about this. Man, how can I help somebody else? How can I encourage somebody else? How can I lift somebody else up? We should be thinking about that. And don't give up on meeting together. That means continue to come to church, continue to come to small group, continue to connect. You can't, there's no way you can do it by yourself. You need to be in a place. We said last week that this is just one big squad, right? This is all this is, what church is, just one big squad, and we need to continue to meet together. And as some are in the habit of doing, but doing what? Encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So as I see what the world's starting to look like, as I see the craziness, man, we need to be encouraging one another and lifting one another up and thinking about ways, man, how can I bless somebody? How can I lift somebody up? How can I show somebody else the love of God? How can I help somebody else know God better? The way that I'm trying to know him myself. It's easy to do this when I know I'm a part of a team where people are sharing in the same love of God that I have, and where I know that people are striving to reach God the way that I am. They're trying, and when I know that they're overcoming some of the same situations that I'm trying to overcome. There's some stuff going on in my life. There's some things like fear or doubt or unbelief. It might be money stuff. It might be life stuff. It might be parenting stuff. There might be some stuff that I'm going through. And you know what? Sometimes you want to go where somebody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where people see our troubles are all the same. A lot of times we feel like we're alone. A lot of times we feel like, oh, they can't relate to me. They don't know what I'm going through. Why? Man, you know what? They have no idea what I'm thinking because they have a different political belief than I have. There's no way they can know that. There's no way that they can relate to my situation because they have a different color skin than I do. But you know what the thing about it? Everybody deals with fear. We all deal with doubt and unbelief. But you know what? Sometimes you want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. We're all trying to figure this life thing out together. We're all trying to figure this, man, how do I get God more in my life? We're all trying to figure that out. We're all trying to do that. We need to continue in that to know that, you know what? Our troubles are all the same. The squad is a place where I can begin to reveal my faults, my vulnerable areas, right? It's where I can, my weaknesses, and even where I've sinned, and know that I have people that are going through similar circumstances that I am. They're going through the same stuff that I'm going through. And they're opening up as well, and we're all pursuing righteousness in God through Christ together. We're all doing it together. That means I'm willing to give or receive challenging words, right? So if something comes up and it's super challenging, it's super tough, man, you know what? There's somebody that's there that can help me out. And if I see somebody else going through a struggle, if I see them going through a situation, I'm there to assist and help somebody else out too. That should be what we're pursuing. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, speak the truth in love. Then what we'll do, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Our squad is where we can encourage each other. It's where we can lift each other up to read the word, right? I want to encourage somebody to read the word. I want to encourage somebody to worship. I want to encourage somebody to go deeper in their life and in what they're going through in the word. I should be the person making sure that somebody else doesn't fall in sin. If I can help them out, you know what? I'm going to jump in and make sure that I can help them out. I was going to tell more of the story. I don't have too much time, but there's a story of a squad in the Bible. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And these guys, right, they're in a situation where they're in a blazing furnace situation, right? The King Nebuchadnezzar has basically said, if you don't bow to this huge statue he made of gold, then I'm going to throw you in this furnace, right? You're going to be taken up. And these guys are in this place where they're trying to figure out, man, I love God, and God is the first in my life. That's where my devotion is. That's where I'm going to stay. And I have somebody who's my boss who can take my life saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to take you out. And they have to make a decision in that moment. Am I going to back down? Am I going to kowtow? Or am I going to continue in the way that I'm going? Am I going to continue to love God the way that I should? Am I going to continue to follow him versus what the world is telling me is the right thing to do? And you know what happens is that They get there and they tell the king, oh, king, right? I get what you're trying to do. However, right, we serve God, and so that means we can't do that. And the king gets mad. He gets upset. He says, okay, you know what? I'm going to turn up the fire 7 times hotter than what it actually already is. Right? It's already a blazing furnace. It's already hot, but I'm going to turn it up 7 times hotter than what it actually is right now. Now, what are you going to do? What God is going to save you now? What situation are you going to face? Man, what are you going to do now? And it's in those moments where I recognize, you know what? Yeah, those guys, they knew God. They had a relationship that was so strong with God that they said, no matter what you do, basically, we're going to win. It doesn't matter. Even if God doesn't have us, we still trust him. We're still going to depend on him. I'm still going to lean on him, even if he doesn't take us out this fire. But you know what? We know he's going to do it. And the thing about it, I saw, you know what? They have a great relationship with God. But you know what I figured out? They must have had a great relationship with one another. Because if you think about it, what they said back to the king, they said with one voice. They said it with one mind. You know what? Man, we're not going to back down in situations. You know what? We're not going to be defeated. We're not going to quit. It looks bad. It looks like the world is saying this, and it feels like sometimes I should do this. But you know what? I know that's not the way that I'm supposed to go. I'm supposed to continue to follow God, which means with each other, they must have known each other's breaking point. They had to know each other's weaknesses. They had to know each other's strengths. They must have seen some wins and losses along the way to know that, you know what? They might try to split us up. They're going to try to burn us up individually. But you know what? Let's stay together. Let's say this thing with one voice. Let's continue this one mind. Let's encourage each other. Let's endure what's going on. And for all of us, we all have some blazing furnace situations going on in our lives. All of us do. All of us do. We all have something in our life where the world is trying to push on us some value or some issue or some situation. There's some circumstance that we're going through. And you know what? I need somebody in the fire with me that understands something about me. I need somebody in the fire with me that is pursuing God the same way that I'm trying to. They're not perfect, and I know that. And I'm not perfect, and they know that. But with them, you know what? We're stronger. With somebody else, man, we're so much better than I would be by myself. What I'm asking you to do, what I'm saying is, if we're a squad, I'm saying, man, let's make this a place when people come in, we're quick to know their name. So when they come in, they'll be like, man, when we see them, man, you know what? I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad you came. So when they come in with the issues and trouble and situations and they're going through blazing furnace situations, we've done our job to connect with them and to figure out what their name is. Here's the thing about it. Shadrach's name really wasn't Shadrach. It was Hananiah. And his name meant God is gracious. Meshach's name wasn't even Meshach. It was Mishael, which means who is like God. Abednego's name wasn't even Abednego. It was Azariah, which means God has helped. And you know what? I bet they knew that about each other. And man, you know what? I bet Hananiah got into some situations where he's seen some grace before. And so he knew to say, you know what? Even though I'm in a blazing furnace situation, you know what? God is gracious, Mishael. God is gracious, Azariah. And Mishael's standing there, and they're about to go into blazing furnace. He said, you know what, Hananiah? You know what, Azariah? Man, who is like God? Who else can save us in this situation? Who is like God? And I bet Azariah was saying, you know what? Look, it don't matter. You know why? God has helped. Not he's helping. His name means God has helped. You know what? That means that God had helped him before. There have been some situations that he's been through. There have been some things, some blazing furnace situations that he saw. And he's like, you know what? Man, we've been through this before. We know what this looks like. But you know what? We're together. So we know that God is gracious. We know who God is, and we know who he's helped. He's helped us before, which means that he's going to do it again. That's the trust that they had in God. When we are with our squad, there's safety in knowing that our real identity and relationship, not only with God, is protected, it's nurtured and defended. especially in the world that's trying to define us in a different way. But as well, I know God for myself, but I'm experiencing him daily with somebody else, right? It's not just me. Yes, I have a personal relationship, but I'm also connecting to somebody else. So when my circumstances come up, when my disappointments happen, when there's situations that arise, there's somebody else that I have connected with. They understand my wins and my struggles. They understand what I'm dealing with, my thoughts, even if I've sinned, right? If we're really going to be squad, we have to be willing to open up so that there can be healing and restoration within the squad. That's why church was made. It wasn't so that we could come here and it's Club Med and we feel kind of good. It's so that we could be a blessing to one another. That should be our goal is, man, you know, we should be in this thing to know God as great as we can. And that's how we fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2 says it, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And I'll end with this. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. So that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? I want to be where I can see that our troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. Bow your heads, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.